Chapter 11 of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he had died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. So we're getting kind of an Old Testament history here. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? Usually I quit about this time because that's about all the people I know. But I'm going to read on down. Hopefully it's not belaboring it. But what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So talking about the Old Testament people, some before the law and many during the period of the law. And all the things that happened to them because of their faith, or all the things that happened to them, and yet they kept the faith too. So let's look faith, definition of faith. I put a short one in your handout. W.E. Vine has a dictionary of New Testament words, and in that dictionary, faith is indicated as firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. A little bit more of that definition as it's used in the New Testament. It's always a faith in God, in Christ, and in things spiritual. And I made a note of what some others have said about faith. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way, by faith walk ye in it. At the close of his will, Patrick Henry is said to have stated, there's one more thing I would like to leave to my family, Christian faith. With that, they would be rich did I not leave them one shilling. Without that, they would be poor had I given them the whole world. Faith is a grasping of almighty power. The hand of man laid hold on the arm of God. The grand and blessed hour in which the things impossible to me become possible, O Lord, through Thee. And Paul, the writer of 2 Corinthians, wrote in 5th chapter and 17th verse, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So faith is an important chapter. I don't know whether it's interesting to you, but there's one chapter in the book of Hebrews devoted totally to faith. There's another chapter, chapter 13, devoted wholly to love. These were two of the things that Paul was more concerned about, than likely any other subject, because of the numerous problems the people at Corinth were having. And he felt like if they could get back, the Hebrews were having, if they could get back to their faith, if they could get back to the better things in Christ, then they would be able to steer clear of their inclination, many of Jewish Christians' inclination of going back into Judaism and requiring that Gentiles practice portions of Judaism. So faith is a very important subject. Faith is a very important subject. I thought I would begin first with some other scriptures in the Bible that have to do with faith. What is the source of faith that justifies us? What's the source of the faith that we need as a Christian? Well, Romans 10:17 says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it stands to reason that the more we hear God's word, and the more we study, the more we read God's word, the greater faith we can possess. And that's the source of faith. Justification by faith. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. Justified, I think of this definition of justified. It may not define it, just may help me to better understand it. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Justified in the sight of God. Jesus gave his life for us. He sacrificed his life for us. And that sacrifice justifies us before God because we have his righteousness imputed to us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, justification by faith. Someone said that there are three elements. There's the grace of God, there's the faith of man, and there's the redeeming blood of Christ. God's grace is unmerited favor in sending Jesus to this earth to live and as a human being, as the Son of God on the earth and giving his life for us. And then the redeeming blood of Christ that provides for our salvation. Speaking of salvation, in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, Paul, the same writer of the book of Romans, and likely the same writer as the book of Hebrews, says, for by grace are you saved, and that's where folks can pick up on. There's a number of other chapters said we're saved by grace, but it doesn't stop there. For by grace are you saved through faith. So there's grace on God's part, or unmerited favor on God's part, and our faith, we have to react to that grace. We have to react to what God has done for us. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Salvation by grace through faith. Faith is obedience. Early in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, in verse 5, and there are other places in fact, here in the book of Hebrews, there are a number of illustrations where those who possessed faith were included because of their obedience to that faith that they had. In Romans 1, in verse 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to this church that they had not visited, he said, by whom, that is, by Christ we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Paul was teaching the gospel to all nations, which meant the Jews, the Gentiles, which would include all, which would include the Greeks and the Romans, and taught the gospel, and within the gospel there was the teaching of obedience to the faith. So faith is something not just possessed, it's something that we are to obey. Belief or faith in baptism precede being saved. Now, a number of religious groups have problems with that. Let's look at some scriptures and see if that will resolve it for us. Mark 6, 15 through 16. And we'll be reading Mark's words as he gives an account of Jesus' words. Mark chapter 16, over at the end of the book, if I can reach it here. Mark 16, 15, 16. And he said unto them, this is the Great Commission, giving his charge to the 11 apostles. He said to them, go ye on all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. He that believeth, there's the faith, and is baptized, shall be saved. There's the salvation. But salvation is preceded both by the faith and by one being baptized or acting in obedience to that faith. Repenting is an act of act based upon our belief in God and belief in Christ that we'll have salvation from our sins, that He provides remission of our sins. Being baptized is an action of faith based upon our belief that Jesus will forgive us of our sins. Reading again that statement, faith or belief and baptism precede being saved. Some people get those turned around. That person is saved and then they can be baptized. But when we have these mentioned in the scriptures, in the gospel accounts or in the book of Acts, they're always in this order. All three may not be mentioned every time, but when they're mentioned in this order. And also in that regard, in Acts chapter 2, 37-38, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost at the beginning of the church, the people were moved at what he said and what he told them. He told them about what they had done 50 days or so earlier, when they had the trial of Jesus and when they had him crucified, that they had actually done it. By wicked hands, they had done it. And they understood, after he talked to them a while and taught them, that they were in trouble. And so there in Acts chapter 2, they were pricked, they were moved in their hearts, they were motivated, they were uptight, upset, and they had a question. You know, based on what we did, Peter, what do we need to do now? What shall we do? Verse 37. This indicated that they were believers. They believed that what he said was so, and that it applied to them, at least the ones that asked this question. And then Peter said, that his response was this. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So baptism, their repentance and baptism precede forgiveness of their sins. And we find later that those who should be saved then were added to the church. Acts 2, 47. And that's the ones that were baptized back up in verse 41. The book of James has something to say on the, or quite a bit to say on this subject of faith. Look at James chapter 2. James seeks to deal with those who were saying evidently that as long as I have faith, nothing else is needed. And they were allowing some of their brethren to go hungry, to not be taken care of. They weren't meeting their needs. And James said, you know, that's not the way that Christianity is. That's not the way we're to act. That's not the mind that we're to have in us if we're to have the mind of Christ as we deal with our brothers and sisters. If a brother or sister, look at James 2 verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, so here's someone in need, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We're not, and he gives an illustration, we're not Abraham, our father, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? This is a works of obedience, not meritorious deed, not saying, you know, look what we've done, God, now you have to save me based upon what I've done. Seest thou, he says in verse 22, James, how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. They are intertwined. Intertwined. We can't say, you know, I became a Christian, I believe in Christ, I believe in God, and I'm going to sit here till he comes. That's all he's ever said to me to do and to be. And that's not the case. We need to increase that faith that we have, and that faith will result in some action. In fact, one lesson I had one time on faith, I said, faith is where the action is, as the title. Faith is where the action is. You seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So James says that, you know, you show me someone who has faith aside from works, and I'll show you someone that works as a Christian, and that will show you their faith. That really shows you their faith, that you got it reversed if you do the other. Then he gives the illustration of Rahab the harlot back at the time of the spies being kept in secret that were inside the city of Jericho. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers that sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. He says it's an incomplete perception. It's an incomplete teaching. If your faith doesn't result in some action on our part, if it doesn't result in our being better and having the mind of Christ and acting upon that faith, then that faith is non-existent, he says. So faith motivates. Faith will motivate us. I remember a number of years ago that elders at Northside, the old Parkwood Church became Northside Church, and we were going to see individuals who hadn't been attending in several months. And we'd go out there and talk to them, and some folks would just leave the TV on while you went out there and talked to them. A lot of times, though, I had one brother with me one time that asked him if he wouldn't mind turning the TV down. And I thought that was in order. We were talking about the work of God, and here we were competing with whatever was on in primetime TV. But as far as it is dealing with individuals who have not been in attendance, who have not seen fit to worship God in some time with other Christians, there's a problem of the strength of their faith, I believe. If faith comes by hearing the Word of God and we stay away from the hearing of God's Word, that can only result in one thing, a decrease in our faith. And that's the reason that I don't want to be around you, because I don't have the same kind of faith that motivates me anymore. And that's the reason a lot of folks, I think, fall by the wayside. They may use some petty excuse, but basically, the church at Ephesus over in the book of Revelation was said to have still been doing things in the name of God, but they left the first love. They had that spark, but the spark was going out. The spark was not as bright, and did not glow as well as it did back when they, back in the beginning after their having been taught. Faith then, according to 1 John 5:4-5, brings the victory that overcomes the world. Hebrews 11, God's honor roll of faith. There are a great number of examples for us there. And I want to look at Hebrews 10:32-39 first. You probably have to study Hebrews 11 on your own at the rate I'm going tonight. But let's look at Hebrews 10:32, because a lot of times to get the most out of a particular chapter, we need to know what the background is getting up to that chapter, because the Hebrew writer did not say this is chapter 11. some man at a later time decided that that was a, quote, proper place to divide the writing. Go back to verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, they were enlightened, you endured great fight of afflictions. Talking to Hebrew Christians. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Right there is the key to the study of the book of Hebrews too. The better things of Christ, as shown in the book of Hebrews. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Keep the faith. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You need to keep that confidence. For you have need of patience, that after that you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in it. That would be what we call back. Maybe that's where we got backsliding. If any man would draw back, my soul should have no pleasure in. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So he sets the tone back in chapter 10. And tells us that what's coming up in chapter 11 and what's following his earlier discussion is very important. It has to do with the saving of the soul. So he's not just saying, you know, I think I'll stop a while in this book and write about faith. That's a good subject. And he had some knowledge on it. The Holy Spirit was ready to direct him. And he said, I'll just write about faith. No. There was a method. There was a message that included the introductory material to this chapter. So God's Word concerning faith, Hebrews chapter 10. Faith is defined, and we just read that. It's the substance of things hoped for. It has to do with what we hope for. Evidence of things not seen. We can't see, so we have to have great faith. But faith is not just, I believe, I hope. Let's see what faith is. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, listen to this. If somebody said, well, why do you believe that God created the heavens and earth? Through faith. Through faith we understand. See? He didn't say through faith. We got a little hope there that God and created this world and all things that are in it. But through faith, we understand. We understand. We studied God's Word. We have questioned God's Word. We've gone over it and over it again and again. And that's the best explanation that God gives us. God tells us how we should live. God tells us that we have sinned. And that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God has given us a way to come back to Him and through the blood of Christ. And we understand that He framed the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, folks, that scientists and everybody else got to get together. They got to have something. See, we always got to have something. If it's not in the area of faith, there's got to be something we can put our hands on, even if it's a bang. The Big Bang Theory. They can put their hands on that, maybe. They can put their finger on an amoeba coming out of the sea, or a monkey that's dangling around in a tree. Through faith, we understand. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. So there we have action. So that's a justifying faith. It's through these many examples. Faith is spoken of in a great number of ways, but The 12th chapter of Hebrews says this about the purpose of the 11th chapter. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." He said, I have run these people by you, just like on a big screen. There was a Confederama down in Chattanooga at one time. I don't know what's there now or not, but showed the whole war down there, the effort that was going on. And it was all around you. It circled all around you as to the event. And so here we've got a great number of people from the Old Testament. And their great faith is acting as a witness to us and telling us that we can believe in God. "Wherefore, seeing you're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before." So there was a purpose for talking about all these people of faith. The Hebrew Christians were getting down on their Christianity, and they were thinking back to the law. And Paul said, the writer said, don't get all caught up in that. Let's lay aside, I think that weight appears to be unbelief. But whatever sin, let's lay aside the sin that easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race. You're not having patience. You're not keeping the faith. You see, they were, verse 35 says, "Cast not away," of chapter 10, "cast not away therefore your confidence. Keep on keeping on. Have patience," chapter 12, verse 1 says. And with the race that is set before. These people knew about the races that they had at that time. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." So he said, keep your eye on Christ. As we look at these witnesses, we see that their faith was shown in many different ways. There was a sacrificing faith. Verse 4, it has to do with Abel. His was a more excellent sacrifice. Overcoming obstacles. Their faith helped them do that. He gives the example of Sarah and her effort to have a child when she was really too old to conceive. The faith imparts strength. Moses needed great strength to stand up against Pharaoh and to stand up against that army that was following him, and also stand up against the people of God to keep them moving. I don't know whether he was behind them with a whip or was out in front of them, but he kept them moving. They had to have faith throughout that trip back to the promised land. Their faith shows that they were obedient. Notice that in verse 4, Abel offered a sacrifice. And in verse 7, by faith, Noah, and if you go down the way, says, prepared an ark. So he obeyed. His obedience was based upon his faith. Nobody else in that time other than him, he and his family, had that faith. No one. So there are warnings today that come from these individuals to us that it's easy if we let our faith weaken. If we let it get weaker than water, some folks have said, we need to be alarmed, and we need to work on that we might have greater strength, that we might be obedient to what we find in God's Word, obedient to the faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed. God told him to go out in another country from the country he was in. He had great herds, which would be a show of wealth. So he could have said, why in the world should I go? I got my tents all set up, my family's here, and you gonna send me on a journey through where? No, he says he obeyed. By faith, he obeyed, and he went out. Didn't even know where he was going. He was obedient. Faith sees the invisible. Verse 3, verse 10 says that concerning Abraham, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He had a greater goal out there than just what was going to take place in his life right then. So he obeyed God. Faith says to that it can overcome death. Here in verse 4, we see that Abel's sacrifice is still remembered, even though he's dead. His sacrifice, his being acceptable to God, is still remembered, even though he died, even though he's not here anymore. Abraham offered Isaac, verse 19, with the understanding and with the faith that God could raise him from the dead. Because God says through this young man, the nation of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham could have stopped and said, "Hold just a minute, God, you told me this through the, have you forgot? You told me this through this boy." He didn't say that. He had faith in God, his faith that God, the God who created everything, the God who had made promises, would keep those promises, and that somehow his boy, if he was killed, would be brought back to life so he could fulfill that promise that God made. And faith patiently endures. Verse 9. By faith, this says about Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with them the same promise. Down in verse 36 through 40, we noted all these things that happened to these people. All these things that happened to them. They were stoned. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about destitute. And yet they persevered. They persevered. And even though they had not received the promise that was made to Abraham. So we have this great cloud of witnesses. Great cloud of witnesses. And the lesson is ours to see these individuals as examples. As examples of what our faith can lead us to. And what of our faith needs to lead us to? We have these men, these women, as examples of a great faith. And so today, we're deeply indebted to these Christians who have gone before us. Not only the ones we knew about in the Old Testament, but there are a number of Christians in the city of Nashville. Maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe some preacher years ago. In fact, that's the reason they're doing some of these things down at the Ryman Auditorium with this gospel meeting. Because along about the early part of the 1900s, the church was all, the church was all but not in existence almost. And so some Baptists got themselves straight and some other religious groups got themselves straight and went back to the Bible, speaking where the Bible spoke, would speak, and being silent where the Bible was silent. And so they started a movement back to the Bible. We find out that Christ is the object of our faith. We're to believe in Christ and in God. His Word is the source of our faith. And salvation is provided to those who are obedient to the faith. And the heavenly home is the ultimate victory of faith. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, you've studied on your own or studied with someone and you're convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to make that confession tonight that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, you realize that without what He did on the cross for you and for me, that we would still be in our sins. If you're willing to repent of your sins and to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, God is willing to forgive. And then desires us to increase in our faith as we live our lives for Him and seek to have the mind of Christ. As a Christian, if you desire prayers, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, if you have any of those needs, would you come as we stand, as we sing? Shall we stand?